Our scripture comes to us from Luke 22, verses 24 to 26. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves."
Morning, church. Morning. Is this microphone on? Are we on? Okay, good. How was your week? It's been a while since I've been around really young kids trying to keep up with them. At Vacation Bible School, I was going back to other stuff I had to do, and I'm like, man, I'm tired. So I guess that's why raising kids is usually for youngers. And I have to say that everybody that came and helped, it really turned out really well. And I know Judy pointed out specifically the work that Rachel did, some of the creative stuff she did. It's really good. So even if you don't stay for potluck, you should actually head over and have a look. It turned out really, really good. There was a lot of help building everything too, and thanks to everyone there. So as you can see, today we're going to be having communion. And it's one of the things that Jesus says, remember. There's not a lot that he says in Scripture, remember. But this is one of them. And it's not that we're to remember the service itself, but the service itself is to point us to the one who we're supposed to remember. And that's Jesus. So let's pray. And then I'm actually going to do a shorter message than usual, for me at least. And so let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he did for us. And Lord, I just pray that as we share today from your word and share in communion, I just pray that you would help us to remember what it is that you've done for us and who you want to be to us. And that's our best friend and Lord and Savior. And so, Father, please pour out your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the story is told of a young artist, and his desire was to paint a picture of a particular palace in Rome. So he went to the palace and he asked for permission to set up all of his art supplies and everything that he needed to paint this picture, and he was told, "No, you can't do that." And he said, "Well, how is it that I'm going to paint this picture?" And so he got permission to come there every day. And what he did is he looked at the picture, and he would pick a particular portion of the picture that day, and he would hurry home and he would paint that little section of the picture. And for weeks he would go back and study the original picture, and then he would run back home again and he would continue to paint this picture. And when it was finally finished, he wanted to unveil it to the public. And in all of its glory, it was displayed. And the people came and said, "Wow, that is absolutely amazing." But almost to a person, they said, "I wonder what the original looks like." And they were told where it was. And so what they did is they wanted to compare what it is that was the artist's thought and reflection to the original. And I think you can maybe know where I'm going with this, and that is this: for us, our study of the ultimate original, which was Jesus himself, and we're supposed to come every day and look at just the nuances of, and our prayer and our thought should be this: how can we end up causing people to say, if that is the reflection, I really want to see the original. And the original's Jesus. So I think we can all agree that when the disciples were called to follow Jesus, and in Sabbath school, we actually talked about this call of the disciples, at least part of the lesson was, we can all agree that they dropped everything to follow Jesus, right? That's fair. But would you say that as soon as they made contact with Jesus, they were a perfect reflection of him? Far from it. Far from it. And I will have to say that when people and we come to church here, we would love to be as good a reflection of Jesus as possible. But would you say that we have an awful lot to learn still about how we can reflect him? But I praise God because he doesn't cast us off when we continue to maybe make mistakes and maybe not at times reflect him as well as we could. But he says, I'm going to continue to teach, I'm going to continue to forgive, and guess what? I'm going to continue to use you even if you're imperfect and broken. And by the way, there's not a single person in here or even a person who is watching this online or going to watch it later. None of us are perfect. I've heard some claim that they're closer than others, but I don't know. I don't know about that. And the disciples had an awful lot to learn. So if you look through the life of Jesus, he spent a big, vast majority of his time trying to teach little small groups that would include the disciples. And he kept saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the Father is like. But then he also says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus spent an awful lot of time teaching. And as we look at it, as we're going to look into, we're going to reread the scripture that Sherman read. Right up to Jesus had said, we're going to celebrate the Passover. And he had said that we're going to Jerusalem and the Son of Man is going to lay down his life. And of course, Peter, being who he is, no, you could never do that. But it had to be so, didn't it? According to what Scripture says, it had to be so. Coming into what we call the Lord's Supper, the disciples were still needing lessons. And the good news is that even when Jesus was gone, he continued to teach. Because the disciples and we have an awful lot to learn, don't we? But so this solemn time of the Passover, celebrating the deliverance of God's people, and the idea of contemplating that, and the only thing that the disciples could think about when they were headed that direction to share that meal together. And they were told it was going to be his last one, but yet they didn't necessarily want to embrace that because, well, I mean, how many of us would say, yeah, the one we got really close to should just go away? Well, none of us are going to accept that. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start at verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And sadly, Jesus, all along in his ministry, had zero desire to point out who would be the greatest. So here was one who was God with us, and he's saying, if you want to understand what it's like to be godly, become a servant. And he was constantly trying to teach that to his disciples and anybody else who would listen for that matter. Verse 25, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. So this idea of exercising lordship, So the New American Standard Version, I think, I like the way it says it better. It says, they domineer over. So let me ask you a question. How many of us really like when somebody would stand right over the top of us and just dominate us? Anybody like that? Would anybody care for that? You would like that? To be dominated over? Well, come on up here. Let's see how you feel when I stand right over the top of you, Dr. Luke. But the idea behind it is, Jesus is saying the idea of domineering or lording it over somebody is completely contrary to the way Jesus does business. So you've heard the term that says absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's true. It's true. There's another word that says they're the ones who exercise this authority. They're called benefactors. And I really like the way the NIV puts it. It says they call themselves benefactors. Self-proclaimed. So you know what, does everybody know what a benefactor is? You know what a benefactor is? What's a benefactor? I'll put you on the spot. Because I see she. Okay. Yeah. So it's they help other people. It says it could be a person who gives something to support a cause. But this is one that's an interesting meaning for it. It's one who provides help or an advantage. So they provide an advantage. And so if I call myself that, I come into the situation and say, it's really advantageous to you that I'm here today. So that would be kind of the spirit of this. They're calling themselves benefactors. Thank you very much. I am pretty important to the situation. And Jesus is trying to say that when you come into a situation, the idea is not for you to go, you all should be really glad that I'm here today. And I'm pretty important to the situation. That's really what the Jesus is trying to teach. We're not to come into that situation that way. We're supposed to come into a situation with the humility that he's trying to teach. And then Jesus just comes out and gets really direct in verse 26. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. So in Bible times, the younger was given considerably less. The older was given more of an inheritance, more prestige within the family, and they looked to them for the answers, so to speak. And he's saying, in the kingdom of God, let me just translate at least the way my brain works. In the kingdom of God, we're going to do things backwards compared to the way sinful human beings do things. Because in our world, only the strong survive. If I can somehow get an advantage over you, then great, I've earned it. And Jesus is saying, not so amongst the people of God. Verse 27. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I'm among you as the one who serves. And in my Bible, it actually, the O in one is capitalized. The one, the ultimate one says, if you want to be like me, you're going to come into whatever situation you're in and you're going to be a servant, not the one who demands servitude. Would you say that that's kind of the status quo, the normal way for us human beings currently on this earth to do business, though? It's not normal for us. We want to figure out who's top dog, who's number one. That's what we usually look for. And Jesus is saying that's not how we're supposed to function. We're supposed to function as humble servants. So let's be honest. How easy is it to be humble like that? For some, maybe easy. For others, maybe not so. But that's what Jesus is saying that he wants us to be, is that type of a servant. At this point in time, do you think the disciples are kind of feeling like he was not even with us, but yet somehow he knew that we were arguing about who it would be that would be numero uno in the kingdom of God? You think right now they're feeling a little bit like, oh, maybe a little rebuked, maybe? But then he doesn't leave them in that state. And I love that the way God deals with us, the way Jesus specifically dealt with them. He didn't leave them to despair, because he says, but you are those who've continued with me in my trials. And he's showing that he really appreciates that he's been able to walk with them, and they've been with him through all of the thick and thin, so to speak, of his life that he'd lived for that 3.5 years. And do you like the fact that as we have our struggles, does anybody not have struggles in life to get it right, to say the right thing, to do the right thing, to represent yourself well? Does anybody not struggle with that? Oh, good, we're all human beings in here. That's really good to see. Because we all struggle with it. And with the disciples, they struggled with the very same things, and Jesus still used them for his kingdom. Isn't that good news? And he looks at every single one of us, and he understands that we have our weaknesses, we have our struggles, and he says, I'm going to use you still. And I praise him for that, because I can tell you this much, there's times to where even in the position I occupy, once in a while, I have to tell you, it's still a little bit strange to hear me called pastor, because I'm new to that title, relatively, within a little over a year. And so it's new to me, but guess what? At times, if we feel unworthy, I think that's healthy at times. You know why? Because we're actually saying, I understand I can't do this of my own. I can't. It's only through the grace of God that I can that I can and that we can do what God's called us to do. Because the very minute that I say, you know what? Hey, I'm pretty good at this. That's the very minute that humble pie tends to get chewed on a little bit. Amen? But he still wants the gospel to go out. Do you realize that he has hundreds of millions of angels that he could dispatch to come here and speak much more eloquently than I ever, ever could? Or you ever could? But for some reason, he doesn't. And I'll tell you that my opinion of that reason is this. He wants human beings to share in the blessing. There's nothing like proclaiming the kingdom of God to people who don't know the one who's king of the kingdom. Amen? There's nothing like it whatsoever. And he wants us to share in the blessing of. He could send hundreds of millions of angels, and that message would go out with power that we've never, ever seen before. One of the guys who has the most energy I have ever seen of any speaker in my life is David Asherick. And these angels could speak David Asherick, making him look slow. It could be absolutely amazing, but he wants us to be a part of that blessing. Verse 29, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Do you notice something? Jesus was given something, but do you know why Jesus took that from the Father? For one purpose and one purpose only. That was to then turn around and give it. The idea for everything that we take, for everything that we take in from here, the principles of God, they're designed for one thing. for us to move. I told a story in Vacation Bible School this week, and I said, how many of you guys would like to actually take drink from a frog pond? The slimy green frog pond. Why did the frog pond turn slimy green? Why? Anybody want to guess? Why did the frog pond turn slimy green? Because it wasn't in motion. And behind me was something that looked like a cascading waterfall. Now, if fresh water was cascading over that waterfall, probably your best place to get a drink would be right where it was crashing up against the rocks, because it's in motion. It's moving. And Jesus says in verse 30, he's giving us this kingdom that we may eat and drink at his table in his kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wait a second. It's God that occupies the throne, right? It's God that occupies the throne. And somehow, some way, God's so comfortable in his sovereignty that he says this in Revelation 3, verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. In any kind of a monarchy in history, have you ever seen a king that says to anybody, hey, come on over here and sit down with me and rule with me on my throne? If we've ever seen a throne, there's always been one that occupies it. But somehow, some way, Jesus says, come, sit down next to me, and I'm perfectly comfortable in my sovereignty. And you can sit next to me and watch me rule. And it says we can rule with him. How that works, I'm not exactly sure. We'll figure that out in eternity, I think. But I can promise you this, that the one who occupies that throne is so humble that he says, come and watch what I do. To me, that is an amazing thought about how our God looks at situations. And sometimes we get, as human beings, we get uncomfortable with the idea that we are anything but strong and in control of the situation. And Jesus says, let go of that control and give it to me. And he's trying to teach to the disciples this because, think about this for a second. Christ followers were very few. And they literally were the beginnings of what it is that we're living day to day, calling ourselves Christians. Talk about a responsibility. And he's saying, I want you to, and this is the key. This is the key. I want you to have a proper picture of who I am, of who the Father is, so that when you go out into the world, you paint the same beautiful picture. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, if that's God, I want nothing to do with him. Have you heard that before? And sometimes we don't paint the best picture, but when we go to the Word of God, we can actually study into the master artist. Because he came to paint a perfect picture of a God who loves us. He came to paint a picture of a God who says, if I can't have you back with me for all of eternity, I'm going to die so that we could spend eternity together. Isn't that good news? And you know what? God's kingdom is going to be made up of a group of people who continue to come back day by day and say, just that little portion of the picture. I'm going to study that portion of the picture and say, Lord, help me to reproduce that portion of the picture. And then, Lord, help me to reproduce that portion of the picture. And daily, we're going to be able to ultimately, by God's grace, paint a picture that people would say, I want to go meet the original. And so I'd like to challenge each one of us to daily study that original. And that original, Jesus says this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If we would study him, then we can paint a picture that would cause people to say, I want to know your God. And ultimately, we can say, we're going to live with each other for all of eternity because of what Jesus did for us. It's going to take a lot of humility. Would you agree? It's going to take a lot of fortitude, but it's going to be worth it. And as we come into the communion service, it's not just a little cracker and some juice, but we're supposed to be pointed back to, and it's a symbol of, that body that was broken willingly for us, and that blood that was shed willingly for us. So as we go into the communion service, may we understand that Jesus is saying, please remember how much I love you. Please remember how much I gave for you. And so my prayer is that as we leave this place, each one of us would be convicted deeply of our need to study deeper into the original. And may we paint the picture that God wants us to paint so that people would say, I want to be a part of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much that you sent Jesus. You sent Jesus to die for our sins on a cross. But it wasn't kicking and screaming. It was with a level of humility and a level of love that this world has never seen before or since. So, Father, please help us to have your humility. Help us, Lord, to also study you so that we could paint a clearer picture of your love and your character to other people. It's not an easy task, Lord, because our humanness likes to come out sometimes at the worst of times, and I thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for using us still. And so, Father, please just continue to pour out a blessing as we take part in the communion service. In Jesus' name, amen. I love how Scripture describes Jesus as he was coming to the meal that the Passover meal. He looked at his disciples and he said, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this meal with you. And I have to tell you, I consider this a special time. My first time with you guys for communion. So I'll share that as well. With fervent desire, I've desired to share this with our Sutherland Church family. So we're Alon and I are glad we're here. And praise the Lord for that.
Father, we thank you that we may connect with you in spirit and everyone under this roof, as well as all worshipers and in spirit elsewhere. We thank you, Father, for this token of our ongoing connection with you. You have desired to be with us, and you are indeed with us through your Spirit. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Dear God, we come to you this morning thankful that you have given us the opportunity for eternal life with your sacrifice. We find that unbelievable that you would humble yourself as King of the universe to come and do that for us. And we accept your sacrifice for our benefit. And we want to partake of the ordinances that you have asked us to remember you until we come in your kingdom. I'm reading from, in thy name, amen. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
And Scripture tells us that they sang a hymn and then they went out. So I'm going to invite the praise team to come up and let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank you so much that you willingly sent Jesus, your Son, here. And he willingly came here. And Lord, today was all about us remembering what it is that he has done for us. Great things. Because without Jesus, Lord, we have no hope. Thank you for the hope that is in Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, that we as a church family are able to celebrate this. But Lord, we are going to have an extended heavenly family because you tell us that you will not celebrate that meal that you celebrated then. It's the very last one you will ever celebrate until we get to your kingdom. Lord, I want to be at that supper. And Lord, I want to invite as many people as we can. So thank you, Father, for that invitation and the assurance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.